invite Ambassador Kabakjian to give us his comments as to how he sees this meeting now concluding.
Thank you, Senator Ambassador Rust. I'm just a faithful servant to the state parties, and I'm sorry if somehow I dampened the spirit by reporting to you that there is a very low interest of state parties on the subject of the nuclear convention. But you see, when I was confirmed May last year, I made a brief remark to the state parties. I said that I cannot promise you a success of the review conference. What I can promise is I will hit the road early, roll up my sleeves, and do the best I could for that conference to achieve what you would like to achieve. So it's a sharing, but I also would like to, the difficulties we are in, because just like, you know, we keep on talking about three pillars, movements of these pillars to be in sync. And just like the breakaway, I could only follow the Middle East yesterday. I cannot split up myself into three pieces. That's my, well, handicap. But I remember my father has once told me, and I think Susan is quite familiar with my style of saying my father has once told me, because she has heard me here in Tokyo or anywhere in parts of the world, that I should always look back, look back, look back. And I think you will see the reason why. And I'm extremely glad to be here, because I am now, shall we say, in the company of the likes of Ambassador Norman Wolf. I enjoyed very much an exchange of views. Of course, Ambassador Gray, when the first time we met, the first word that came out from his mouth was, "Poor fellow." And of course, yesterday in the breakaway group for Middle East, lots of insights I gathered from Ambassador Graham. Very telling insights, and it is very important to think and learn all those things. It's allow me a liberty to be moving around and come back to hear what the points that I like to convey. I like very much the refreshing presentation of Ambassador Duncan, avoiding the pyramid. Unfortunately, yes, the review conference is still a pyramid, and unfortunately, doubly unfortunately, I'm there on top. And but I'd like to think that the Filipinos invented a game in the 60s, and this is called the game of the general. The top gun defeats everything, including, of course, the private. But there is a spy. The spy defeats everyone, but it's only the private that can defeat the spy. It's a board game that was invented by the Filipinos. Well, anyhow, what I'm trying to say is it's also very exhilarating to be talking about going back to the basic, going back to humanity. Maybe I should start with what referred to by Garrett, the Canberra Commission. For so long as there are these nuclear arms, others would aspire. This was repeated by the President of Uganda at the Security Summit, the Security Council Summit, and I was there. The second point in the Canberra Commission was that if we have this arms, it's a logical consequence, I'm paraphrasing it, that will be used one day. And if it will be used, that's the third point, it will have catastrophic effect. Going back to basic, going back to humanities, maybe we should link to the English thinkers that ran to hold the pages of history like Thomas Hobbes, Locke, Rousseau. They say that human nature is the same everywhere. You may be tall, handsome, or what. Also that human nature is always at war. And that's why when this political concept was developed subsequently on, there is the so-called social compact. And that's why we are here. And that's why we keep moving on the contract. But if we have to bring this to a very recent thinker like Well, I don't know. My favorite is the writer of Humans to Animal, like René Dubois. He said that a planned future always prevails over a logical future. If we are not going to negotiate, work very hard and engage ourselves, and let that logical thing in the human nature of us to be at war at the time, we are going to sure be in that brink, if not to the total annihilation. And that's why a planned future, it is said, will always prevail over a logical future. Sad to say, but that is the fact that we are leading to, and we are doing the best I can. I just thought to bring that in when I heard about basics and basic, you know, humanity and all these things. Now, I have said that I have faithfully trying to be on course in the middle and report back to you, because as I have said, I will hit the road early. And for the past 4 months, 6 months, Susan can attest to this. And the little thing that my government can contribute, four corners of the world that we've been moving around to engage state parties and other non-state parties And the few things I have to report to you, because in that engagement, I told them that prior to this month, I would like to ascertain three things. One, if you are still wedded to the proposals that you had on the table. Second, if you have new proposals. And third, do you have some priorities on this proposal? And that's why, unfortunately, Senator, I report back yesterday in a manner of question, and also that it is low below the interests of countries, state parties, with respect to nuclear convention. But I would like to add as well, sir, that as part of a factual that I should report, that I think it should be borne in mind that sometime in February of 2003, the non-aligned movement had a specific reference relating to a phase program for complete elimination of nuclear weapons with a specified framework of time, including a nuclear weapons convention. And the first, the chairman, we're honored to have a first chairman of the first committee in this sixty-fourth session of the General Assembly, we are still in now, had that resolution which was endorsed or sponsored by about 28 countries, including Egypt, the Philippines, and the rest. Of course, it was voted, as you might know, 116, 50 against, 12 abstention. But these are countries, and these are a group of countries that cannot be ignored. And of course, from the ranks of the P5, China, of course, voted yes, and Russia abstained. Take it from there, it is for you to do the job that must be done. But I should also report to you, sir, and this is a duty that I have to report, and as trying to be close to be as neutral as possible, the perspective that came my way. And I would like to repeat what I have said in some other occasions. The success of 2010, they say, can be defined along the lines or along the lines in terms of the range of agreements, along the lines of three challenges, substantive challenges. The first one, of course, and this relates to disarmament, call it the first pillar, but this is more relating to the crafting of a plan, or an action plan that should be, they say, doable and aggressive, more than managing the status quo, but at the same time laying a firm foundation of what can be agreed or negotiated later on that could lead us to the total elimination of nuclear arms. We listen to what has been said the noontime today. That might not be the end game that we would like to desire, but that is the mandate that we have under NPT. And that is one of the, shall we say, defining challenge. The second they say is that is the logical prosecution of a resolution in 1995 in the Middle East. It was extensively discussed yesterday. There is this new prism that been brought to fore. I have emphasized in several occasions the perspective that came my way as the Philippine ambassador in the United Arab Emirates with the mandate of monitoring the area, Iran, of course, the problematic, Iran, Israel, and Iraq at the time. I had the occasion to, at the third PrepCom, Susan was not yet confirmed then yet, waiting for her confirmation, the leader of the U.S. delegation, Ross Gottemeyer, the one that was now negotiating with Anatoly Antonov. And I was asked about my perspective, but I said that those are perspectives that came my way. It's a new thing that has to be appreciated in the context of what is we call non-proliferation and nuclear disarmament in totality. It is a concept that is really a change of dynamic because it's true. The conditions in 1995 is no longer obtaining. Things have changed. The last or the third challenge that will really define the success is the robust strengthening of the NPT regime that would enable it to respond questions like withdrawal, compliance, further implementation of NPT. At Wilton Park, I was asked, why is it you say robust? You're talking about an action plan in one. Don't we need an action plan on this third pillar? I answered it rhetorically, but I failed. I had to explain afterwards that, I have to stay close to what came to me. You mean you want only a plan for a robust strengthening? Or you want to have some concrete actions already in the review conference to strengthen the NPT regime? So I added on by informing delegations, and this is pertinent to what has been discussed here, because it has been brought to my attention, and this is part of the many things that would be included in my analysis with the help of course, the expertise that's surrounding me. The three issues that been brought to my attention that delegation will bring it forward as well. First is the issue on neutrality, universality. Because it is argued that the total comforting zone of disarmament is only is embellished by so many things. One, of course, is CTBT, and that is hope that the Annex 9 will finally, hopefully. And FMCT, CTBT being focused more on the qualitative or the quantitative, rather, element of disarmament, and FMCT on the quantitative. But then the universality, those outliers must be engaged, must be discussed, and the state parties must come up with innovative ideas how to engage them. The second is an issue that will be brought to fore by delegations in the 2010. It is not saying that there will be others, no more others issues. The second one relates to nuclear convention. And the third relates to institutional support. We have exchanged views on this, and at one time it was emphasized to me that in fact institutional support is really related also to the question of maybe Article 10 on withdrawal, because when North Korea trampled upon, so to speak, the NPT, there was no mechanism to deal with it. Of course, there is a Security Council. That's comforting enough. But we know the deficiencies as well. You know what happened, of course, the reaction of some, most countries in the NAM about the 1887. But the point they're saying is that these are contractual obligations of countries in the NPT. And the contracting parties themselves must be given the first crack, the first opportunity to defend the integrity of the treaty. But there is no superstructure, the structure of the... These are information that came my way. I'm just passing it on. Finally, Mr. Chairman, Senator, I would like to end up my brief remark, and I would be, of course, be open to questions because there are so many things perhaps that you would like to inquire. But I would always caution that in the same manner that I ask questions to break the ice yesterday, it was not presenting a position from the chair or from me. It was simply just reflective of the viewpoints that came my way. But I would like to end, sir, by reflecting here or bringing here the actual name of NPT, which was invented by the 15 experts that surround me. These are Filipino experts. For one time or the other, they were involved in the issues in New York, Vienna, and they're spread all over the world. The Hague, Vienna, Geneva, and at moment's notice, I call them. We utilize modern technology. We go to meeting, if you're familiar with that software, and we put our headsets. We have the agenda. It's like meeting. So wherever I could be, I could call on these experts. We will be bringing them all to Manila, thanks to the help of Norway for this support to the chair. This, what you call, building support for the chair. And because this Manila, unfortunately, we cannot invite everybody, not even state parties and all of you, but it is also, again, the little contribution that my government is doing to carry on for further clarification of issues, could be to bridge the gap, could be to provide, to pave the way for what I sometimes refer to as what is in the left, on the right of the equation. And there are so many elements that maybe I can flesh out as we go along. But to go back to that acronym of NPT, one of my bright boys, or my expert said, N stands for no peace without trust. And P stands for proposals are already on the table. And T stands for time to agree now. Thank you, sir.